Amen. It sure is nice that wherever we are, we've got somebody that goes right there with us. It's nice that when I walk up here every Sunday, I ain't doing it by myself. All right. We'll go to Hebrews chapter number 12 in your Bible this morning. Hebrews chapter number 12. You'll have 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon. Right after that, you'll have the book of Hebrews. Right before James. It's good to be in church this morning. Say amen. All right. It's good to see all of you here. Let me say that I'm thankful for each one of you. We've been here just about a year now, and I love you more than I loved you the first day that we walked in. So I'm thankful for what the Lord's doing here. I'm thankful there's a spirit of love here. That's the way it ought to be in church, Brother Ed. We ought to come to church and we ought to love one another. I'm thankful that we have that here at our church. Hebrews chapter number 12, if you'll find it in your place this morning. Very familiar verses to everybody. Chapter number 12 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." That's where we'll stop this morning. Father, we do thank you for your word. God, we thank you for the power that's still in it today. God, the power to change our lives. God, we do thank you for the good singing that we've already had today, Lord, for the praise that's been lifted up to you. Now, God, I pray that you'll help us as we do open up your word. God, I pray that you would open up our hearts to receive whatever you'd have us to receive this morning. God, these people don't need to hear a word from me. They need a word from you. God, this world is a hard place to live. And God, we need you to help us in our week, in our day, and God, in just every moment of our life, we need you. So God, today I pray that you'll give us help for our lives. And we do thank you, Lord, and I pray that you'll forgive us where we fail you. Fill us with your Spirit, God, to do your work. We thank you for all you've done for us. In Christ's name, amen. You know, there was one thing that Jesus always did to help his followers understand his messages in a better way. And what he did was he used parables. Now, what parables were they were real-life examples to explain a deeper spiritual message, like you'll find the parable of the lost son, the lost sheep, the prodigal son, the mustard seed. All of them were real-life examples, but behind those examples were a deeper spiritual message. So basically, Jesus would use an illustration to help his followers understand what he was trying to say. And for me, illustrations help me understand things in a whole lot better. We used a lot of them this morning in Sunday school. But if you'll read through the New Testament, one of the most common illustrations that you'll find to describe the Christian life is running in a race. Is running in a race. And that's what I want to preach to you this morning. Verse 1 says, "The race that is set before us." All throughout the New Testament, you'll find verses that appeal to us running this race in our Christian life. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, Paul says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain." And that's one of those verses that need to be taught to our generation today. Paul did not like everybody getting a trophy. Paul said, if you run, you need to run to win. We're running in a race. Galatians 2, he says, "Lest by any means I should run or had run in vain." And of course, the famous verse at the end of Paul's life, 2 Timothy 4:7, he says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my race. I have kept the faith." And I hope that's the goal of every single one of us in here, to fight a good fight and to come to the end of our life finishing the race. Now, the writers of the New Testament, which is, of course, mainly Paul, he tells us that once we get saved, it's not the end of the race, it's just the beginning of the race. How many of you know that when you become a Christian, things don't get easier, they actually get harder? Amen. If we were being honest this morning, we'd say, come on down here. You think you got problems now? Get born again. You'll get a lot more problems. But I'm thankful that when we get born again, we've got somebody to walk through our problems with us. See, when you get saved, we enter into this race. And that's the means for entering into this race, is to be born again. And the Bible tells us that being a Christian and living this Christian life in the world that we're living is similar to being in a race. Now, you'll know that this race is not a sprint. I used to could sprint 40-yard dashes all day. I doubt I could do it anymore. But sprinting a short distance is not hard. Why? Because it takes no perseverance to do it. You just sprint and you get done. It's over. This race is not a sprint. This race is not a walk either. Walking is fairly easy to most people. But this race is rather more like a marathon. You see, this Christian life is not a short time that we go and we just go and then we stop. It's not a walk, but Paul says we run, or the writer says that we run this race. And running in a marathon, I don't know if anybody of you have ever done it. I'm not, and I'm probably never going to. I can't stand running. But if you've ever run in a marathon, you'll find out that running in a marathon is tough. Why? Because your body starts to hurt about halfway through it. Your mind starts to tell you, you might as well stop. This is hard. And running in a marathon is tough. And the writer of Hebrews here, we're not sure who it is. He was writing to a group of Jews that have just been converted to Christianity. They've just been born again. They've just trusted Jesus as their Savior, which means they just entered this race. But you know, now they're thinking about quitting the race. Because these Jews found out one thing. Being a Christian in the world that they're living is not easy. Being a Christian 2,000 years ago was not easy, and these people were thinking about quitting. And if these people 2,000 years ago thought living as a Christian was hard, how much harder is it going to be for you and me today in 2019? Living and running this Christian race is not easy. It's hard, and it's easy to pull off the side of the road and quit. And I've seen a lot of people just in my day do just that. Pastors' wives can't deal with it anymore, so they say, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. Been married 40 years, they say, I'm done. Pastors that have been preaching for 8-10 years, they say, it's too hard. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm done. People that have worked Sunday school, worked with the youth, done all these things, it's gotten too hard, and they quit. And help us not to point our fingers at them, because at any given moment the devil can come by our way and knock us out of the race too. Because the devil's taken out a whole lot better people than you and me. But the race that you and I run today, it's not easy. It's tough. And this morning I want to give you three things about this race that is set before us that try to hinder us, that try to stop us. Number one, I want you to see that in this race there's going to be sin to slow us. There's going to be sin to slow us. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, people have debated for centuries over this verse of who this cloud of witnesses are that are surrounding us. Some people will tell you that it's angels watching. Some people will tell you that it's the heroes of the faith in chapter number 11. Some people will tell you that it's your family watching from heaven. Now, I'm not sure who it is, but I'm pretty sure that it's the heroes of the faith in chapter number 11, that we're surrounded by those witnesses. And what that basically is trying to say to us is it's nice to see people that have already run the race and they finished it. Because what it does is it lets us look at them and say, hey, they did it. They kept the faith. They finished the race. And that encourages me that I can do it too. And the Bible says, since these great cloud of witnesses are surrounding us, it says, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside every weight. You say, what's those weights? Some of the weights that hold us down. Fear. Worry. That's a big one. Anxiety. Fear and doubt. Those are some of the weights that hold us down. I remember when we played basketball, some of the coaches would make us put those ankle weights around our ankles before the day of the game. It would make us jump higher, run faster, and all that stuff. Can you imagine me trying to play in a basketball game with those ankle weights on? It'd be absolutely miserable. You know what the writer's telling us is, when you're running this race and you got all this weight on your back that you're never supposed to be carrying, what happens? you get miserable. The joy that you used to have, the joy is no longer there. Because that burden's weighing on your shoulders. And when you've got a weight on you, it's miserable, isn't it? And you feel like you can't do nothing about it. Because that worry every morning you wake up is still there. Every night you go to bed, it's still there. And the writer says that's a weight that'll hold us down in this race. So you say, well, what am I supposed to do about it? Well, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And what that's saying is some of the stuff that we carry around, God doesn't want us to carry around. We take it off of us and put it on Him because He's able to carry it for us. He bore our burdens already and He wants us to give it over to Him. But I also want you to notice, not only lay aside the weight, but look what it says. And lay aside the sin which does so easily beset us. And that's interesting because it says sin is not maybe going to hinder you. Sin won't maybe hinder you. Sin will easily hinder you in this race. And it's interesting, I was reading it this week, it does not say the sins, it says the sin. The sin. If I was to ask everyone in here this morning, all of us have one particular sin that we struggle with more than the others. If I was to ask you to raise your hand, I'm not going to, about which particular sin you struggle with, they'd all be different. But you see, I have a particular sin that I struggle with. You have a different one that you struggle with. What the writer is telling us here is that we all have a sin that we struggle with, and that hinders our joy. It hinders us in this race. It hinders our discernment. It hinders our fellowship with God. So what are we supposed to do about it? The writer says the same thing. He says, lay it aside and walk away from it. You see, our main problem with sin is that we do lay it aside. We realize that it's wrong, but we stay close to it. Let me tell you something. If I see a snake in my backyard, I ain't going to walk up to it and say, now ain't you cute. You're going to see me running down 321 screaming like a little girl. Because I ain't getting near no snake. You say, well, they won't harm you. Well, that's fine. It may not harm you. It's going to harm me. I don't want them. If I see a snake, you know what I do? I run as far away as possible as I can from it. Call somebody that likes them to come shoot it. But you see, the first time sin shows up in Genesis chapter number 3, it's in the form of a snake, isn't it? Satan's tempting the woman through a snake. And what the Bible's trying to tell us is sin is not a beautiful little bunny rabbit that helps us, but sin is a snake that hurts us. And you see, when I have something that I hate, when I have something that I realize is going to kill me, I don't stay near it. I run as far away possible as I can from it. And you see, we need to start looking at sin as a snake that will not just maybe hinder us, maybe hurt us, but sin is a snake, and if it gets a hold of us, it will hurt us. And if we ain't careful, it'll kill us. Sin brings forth death. The Bible says don't get rid of it and stay near close to it. Get rid of it and run as far away possible as you can from it. The Bible says follow righteousness and flee these things. Follow God and the sin that's behind you. Run as far away from it as you can. If you have trouble with whatever particular sin you're having trouble with, don't get rid of it and just sit there and stare at it. Get rid of it and run as far away possible as you can. If you have a problem with any of those things, don't just look at it. Look at it and run away. Because the Bible says flee from this sin. Because sin is something that will make this race a whole lot harder than God intended for this race to be. And we all have that one particular one, and the Bible says to lay it aside and flee from it. So not only in this race there's going to be sin to slow us, but number two, there is going to be storms to stop us. There are going to be storms to stop us. And the writer wants us to know that. That's why he says, let us run this race with patience. Better, that word is translated perseverance or endurance. Let us run with endurance. Why do we need endurance? Because it's going to get hard. Because this life is going to get hard. And it's no surprise that in this race there's going to be hard times, trials, afflictions, and sufferings. I told you earlier, once we become Christians, it does not exempt us from trials, does it? It actually puts us in the very line of trials. Paul says, for unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. He said, you're called not only to believe on Christ, but you're also called to suffer in this life. Something we're called to. And how do we suffer? When various storms come into our life, it makes us suffer. It makes us hurt. And it brings pain. And you know, the main purpose of the devil is this. To make this race so hard for you, to make you suffer so much that you look at God and say, I quit. That you look at God and say, I'm done with this race. It's too hard. I don't want to do it anymore. I'm out. That's the main purpose of the devil this morning. To make your life so hard that you look at God and say, this ain't worth it. None of this is worth it. It looks a whole lot easier to quit, so I'm going to just quit. You know, in a marathon, people don't drop out because it's easy, do they? In a marathon, people drop out because their ankles begin to ache, their calves begin to ache, their hamstrings begin to hurt. But most of all, most people, most runners will tell you this. The hardest thing about running a marathon is not their body, it's their mind. Because if you can get past that mind that's telling you quit, 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 and you keep on enduring, you can get past the bodily pain. It's all in the mind. And the number one thing the devil wants to do in our lives today is get in our mind. That's the first place he goes and tells you, hey, these storms that come up, they ain't worth it. You might as well drop off the side of the road and quit, and it'll get a whole lot easier for you. So what do we do when we want to quit? What do we do when we want to drop out of this race when it gets hard? Verse 2 will tell you one of the best verses in the Bible. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You see, well, some people stop there. This is the main point of the verse, the next part. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured. Jesus faced the biggest storm that any man has ever faced. What was it? The cross. He faced the cross, and what did He do? He didn't look at it and say, y'all ain't worth it. He didn't look at it and say, I quit. He looked at it and said, I'll endure through it. And how did Jesus do that? How did He endure through the most painful time in His life? It says He saw the joy beyond the cross. What was the joy beyond the cross? The resurrection. The joy beyond the cross, Him seated at the right hand of the Father. In other words, Jesus looked past where He was standing right now, and He looked at the finish line. And He saw what was going to come. And Jesus said, although it's dark now at the cross, I look past the darkness and I see the light that's going to come forth from it. Jesus said, although I'm going through pain now, I look past it and I see the pleasure that's going to come. Jesus said, although it's suffering now, I look past it and I see the glory that's on the way. And although I'm about to go through death now, I look past it and I see 3 days later where a resurrection is going to come. You see, Jesus endured through those storms because He didn't look at the storms. He looked beyond them to see the other side of it. And you see, if we're going to endure through the pain, the suffering, the darkness, and the sorrow, we must not look down at where we're standing right now, but we must look forward to the place that God is going to take us through it. Because it may be dark now, but you got to believe that light's coming on the other side. And you know, God's purpose is not to help us avoid pain. That's one of the hardest things that we'll ever realize. That God's purpose is not to help us avoid pain. God's purpose is to walk through us through the pain. Walk us through it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. He did not say, I'm going to take you to the valley and walk away and leave you. He said, I'm going to take you to the valley, but I'm going to walk right through it with you. He's not going to help us avoid pain. But He is going to walk right through it with us. And what we got to do is stop looking at where we're standing right now, where it's dark now, it hurts now. We got to look past the darkness and see the light. You got to look past the pain and see the pleasure. You got to look past the suffering and see the glory that's on the way. Paul said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy is going to come in the morning. And you see what Jesus did? He faced that storm, but He did not look at it and say, I quit. He faced it and said, I see the other side, so I'm going to endure right through it. Because once I get to the other side, it's going to be worth it. And there's a lot of storms that you and I face. This life is, it's not nice to us, is it? This world doesn't care about us. It'll take you, beat you down, and throw you off on the side of the road and leave you. But you know, there's always a God that walks right through it with us. And we need Him in the storms that are going to pop up in this race. This race is not an easy race because times get hard. There's some people in here that are going through something today that you never thought you'd go through a year ago, aren't you? But Jesus knew. And He's walking right beside you. And you know, I want to come to the end of my life as Paul did. And Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 7, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my race, and I have kept the faith. I told him this morning in Sunday school, one of my biggest fears is this. It's for me and Monica to have children. And when I became about 15 to 16 years old, that's not my biggest fear. When I became about 15 or 16 years old, I remember walking up to my dad because I was starting to get a summer job. And I remember walking up to my dad and I said, Dad, what did you do for jobs? What did you used to do? And he'd say, well, I worked at Bloom, I worked at Hardee's, I worked at Ingles, all these places. And he told me exactly what he used to do. And I told him this morning, my biggest fear is for us to have a child and that child to walk up to me when he's 16, 15 years old and say, Dad, what have you done all your life? And for me to look at my son and say, son, I used to be a pastor, but it got too hard, so I quit. And I don't want that to be you either. For you look at your children and say, I used to serve God, but I quit. I used to do this, but it got so hard that I quit. But I want to be like Paul. And I want to get to the end of my race and say, boy, it sure was hard, but I sure am glad I endured and I never quit. Because there's one thing you'll never hear on a deathbed. People look at you and say, I wish I wouldn't have served Jesus as much as I did. But you'll hear 90% of the people on their deathbed say, I wish I would have done a whole lot more for Jesus. Because they realize that the only thing that's important is serving the one that they're about to meet. My desire is to finish. Things are going to get hard. It's going to get tough in this race. But God has called us to endure, and I sure am thankful. I don't have the strength to endure. I don't have 1 ounce of strength in my body to endure. But there's a God who lives on the inside of me that gives me the strength to do it. Amen. Endure and finish the race. In this race, there's going to be sin to slow us down. We lay it aside. In this race, there's going to be storms that make us want to quit. But the Bible says we look at Jesus and He endured through the biggest storm anybody's ever faced. And He'll give us the strength to endure through the storms that you and I face in our life. And thirdly, and I'll be done, not only sin to slow us, storms to stop us, but thirdly, society is going to be there to suffocate us. I told you this world will beat you down and leave you out to dry. It's there to suffocate you. It's there to take the life out of you. In Galatians 5:8, Paul is talking to the Galatians, and he says this. He said, you ran well. In other words, you were running well. Who did hinder you? You were running good when you got saved, but now you're not. Who hindered you? You see, in Galatia, these people had got saved through faith in Jesus Christ. People were walking up to them and saying, you're not saved by faith. You got to do something to add something to it. And these Galatians started looking at them, getting their eyes off of Jesus and looking at them and saying, maybe you're right. Maybe I do have to be saved by the works that I do. I'm not only saved by faith. So what began to happen? Their race started to get hindered. Same thing here in the book of Hebrews. That's why he says run this race with endurance looking at Jesus. Because to these Jews that got saved through Christ, the other Jews were coming up and saying, first of all, Jesus is not the Messiah, and if He can save you by faith, that's not right. You got to do something to add to it. And that's why the writer is saying, stop looking at them. In verse 2, one of the best verses in the Bible, look at who? Stop looking at them. they'll hinder you. But look to the one that'll help you. You see, in this life, there's going to be people there to hinder us. There's going to be people there that want to stop us in this race. But the writer says, stop looking at them and get your eyes on heaven. Because people will let you down. But did you know there's one that'll never let you down? And that's Jesus. Don't look at me. I'll let you down. Look at the one who will never let you down. In this race, there's going to be people there to hinder us. And in this race, there's going to be problems there. But help us not to get our eyes on the problems. Help us not to get our eyes on the people. But help us to get our eyes on the Savior. Because in this race, if we start looking at everybody else, if I'm running straight and I'm looking over here, guess what? I ain't doing no more running straight. You can't look behind you and run straight at the same time. But you see, the Bible says there's already one standing at the finish line. And it's funny because that one that's standing at the finish line is also running right beside you because He's an omnipresent God. He's standing at the finish line saying, come on. But He's also right beside you saying, I know you can't make it no longer, so let me carry you through. And there's people in this world today, whether you just got born again, whether you just started the race, whether you're in the middle or whether you're just about to hit the finish line, there's people in this race today who don't have the strength to continue. There's people in this race today who have fallen down and they don't have any more strength. And you know what, Brother Johnny? They don't need somebody to walk up to them and say, get up. They don't need somebody to walk up to them and say, why'd you fall? But when they're down on their knees, Brother Johnny, they need somebody to walk up to them and say, I know you don't have the strength to keep on, so come on, let's finish together. And that's the local New Testament church. That when our brothers and our sisters don't have any strength to keep on, and when they've fallen down, you walk beside them and say, hey, I know you can't do it no longer, but come on, and we'll do it together. If anybody's seen that Olympics to where that boy that was supposed to win by a long shot, I can't think of his name right now, about halfway through it, his hamstring popped just like that. Fell down on the ground. But he was determined to finish that race, although he was going to come in 2 minutes after all the other ones did. All of a sudden, he was down on the ground and he felt like he couldn't go anymore. And all of a sudden, a man got out of the stands and ran down to the track and got that boy's arm and said, come on, we'll do it together. And the only reason they let him break through the crowd is because it was that boy's daddy. And his father came along and said, hey, you do not have to do this alone. I'll be right here with you and we'll finish together. And I sure am thankful when I did not have any strength to continue. When the day comes when you don't have any more strength, that there's a father who sees you that's fallen and he can come right out to where he was and save you and help you and help you get to the finish line. When you can't make it no longer and you don't have any strength to keep on pushing, just fall on your knees because there's a God that'll walk right beside you and say, I know you can't, but come on, let's go together. Church, we need each other. There's one thing that I've noticed just in a year being in ministry is that we need each other. We ain't gonna make it by ourselves. And you know what? God didn't call us to make it by ourselves. That's the reason we sit on the same pews together. God help me to look at other people in their need. And God help you to look at other people in their need and say, you're about to quit, but I don't want you to quit. So come on and let's go finish together because we need help. And there's a man there to help you. And His name is Jesus. Musicians, come forth. Father, we do thank You for Your Word. God, we thank You that when we don't have any more strength to continue, You're a God who has more than enough to give us what we need to keep on keeping on. God, there's people in here today that it just might seem like it's easier to drop off and quit. God, I pray that You'll give them the strength to persevere, to endure, knowing that they don't have to endure by themselves. God, You're right there to walk beside them and endure with them. God, I sure am thankful for Your Word. It tells us that You'd never leave us nor forsake us. I'm thankful for Your Word. It says when our strength is low, it is made perfect in weakness. That Your strength is made perfect, God, and we do thank You for that today. And God, I pray for anybody in here this morning that just wants to quit, that just wants to give up, that feels like they don't have any more strength, I pray they'll find them a place on this old-fashioned altar and call out to You and say, God, I can't, but I know You can. For I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Father, we do thank You for being with us wherever we are. And we praise You for being so good to us. I pray You'll have Your will and Your way in this invitation. And we thank You in Christ's name. Amen.